We begin the current daf Masechtas Kedushin daf Chav Ches. We begin on the bottom of Chav Zayin Mabez, two lines off on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is our Mishnah had quoted a halacha regarding the kinyanim of Nechasim She'ein Lehem Machrais and Nechasim She'esh Lehem Machrais regarding Karka Matatlin. And then it said that you could have a kinyan of Agav, you could acquire Matatlin through the kinyan of Karka. And then it said a related halacha, that is if one person is claiming from another person both Matatlin and Karka, although generally you are an Einish Boin Al Kakaris, you don't have to make an oath when you're defending yourself regarding Karka. However, when you have to swear anyway because of the Matatlin, then there's a halacha of Gilgal Shvur that we can then, since you have to swear because of Matatlin, then he can make you swear regarding the Karka too. Now, that the Gemara asked, where do we know that halacha from? So the Gemara said, we can prove it from the halacha of Saita, where it says, V'amr Isha Amen Amen, the two Amens, what's the extra superfluous Amen? So the Mishnah Masechta Saita taught to make an oath when she that she wasn't unfaithful even when she was Arusa, which the Gemara proved from Ula, that the only option is through the procedure of Gilgal Shavua, that when she has to swear that she wasn't unfaithful as a married woman, he can then make her swear an oath for something that he would not normally be able to, which is when she was engaged. So you see the halachic principle of something that you could make them make an oath, once them taking oaths, you can make them take oaths on even on things that they would normally not have to take oaths. Now that's where Gemara continues and says, Ashkechan Saita di Isura. So good, we have a source in the halacha from the Torah regarding the suspected adulterous woman, where that's regarding prohibitory law. That's where we say the halacha of Gilgal Shavua. But Memayinim and Nolan, how do we know the halacha applies to monetary law? The halacha in our Mishnah was regarding monetary law. How do we know that because you have to make a Shavua Metatlin, you can make the person take a Shavua on Karka? So Tana Deberi Bishmol was taught in the Bryce in the Yeshiva Bishmol that says Kavochaimer, it's a Kavochaimer, which is Uma Saita, if we find the halacha by Saita. As we continue the top of Chavchasim and Alf, Shloi Nitna Lihi Tava, you cannot make a claim to require her to take an oath as a Saita, be'ed echad, with one witness. As the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta the Saita, you need to have two witnesses who saw her being secluded in the stira, because that's learned out from it says, davar by arayis, it says davar by mammon, just like by mammon has to be two witnesses. So too by arayis regarding Saita requires two witnesses. So you cannot even make her take an oath with one witness. And yet still, and so that's a very Chamer diga halacha. That's where the kal vochemer comes in. It's chamer, and yet still has the leniency of megalgal, and you could still make her take an oath through devolving it through somewhere else, meaning if she's taking it as nesui, you can make her take it for the erisin when she was engaged. So therefore, says the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, mamon shenitin lihitavah, so regarding monetary law, where there is the ability to make the person take an oath even be'ed echad with one witness. In other words, if a person's claiming by his friend, you owe me a mana. The guy says, totally denies the whole thing. Now, one witness says that it's not true. You do owe him that mana. So halacha is he has to take a shavua, which is learned from a pasuk that says lo yokum eid echad be'ish. You cannot have one witness stand up against another person l'chol oven u'l'chol chatos for any sin and any wrongdoing. Which the interpretation as is brought in the Masech the Shavuos of Mem and Aleph, it's only for oven and chatos that one witness cannot stand. Then you need to have two witnesses. But he is kam l'shavua. He could stand up against a person to make him take an oath. So if regarding monetary law, where you could make the whole institution of the oath, even with one witness, in a din shemagalglin, isn't it a kavochaimer, then of course you can go ahead and devolve that oath that he's making him swear to then be magalgal other shvuos. So therefore that's the source where, since we know it by saita, which is chamer, and yet still you can go ahead and make it do gilgal shvuah, so by the kal, by mamonis, where you to make a shvuah you only require one witness, for sure you'd be able to make him take an oath of gilgal shvuah. Now the Gemara says, fine, Ashkechan bevadai. So we have a source that there's a halach of Gilgal Shavua when there's a definite claim. It's called a Tainis Bari. So regarding, let's say, something that normally the person would not have to take an oath, for example, like the case of our Mishnah, which regarding Karka, or let's say he didn't admit even halfway, which the halach of the Torah of making a Shavua is when he's made to be mixed, he admits halfway. But if he makes a total denial, then even by Matatlin, he doesn't have to swear. So that's where we would learn out the halacha from Saita that, okay, we're magalgal, if let's say he's liable to swear because of something else, let's say he was moed to be mixed as amitatlin, so that would require a shvua, then you could be magalgal it onto other things like karka of our Mishnah, or let's say another mitatlin that he totally denied. But safik, regarding when it's a doubtful claim, what's called a taina shema, for example, what's a classic case of taina shema, is when there's the oath of partners and sharecroppers who are splitting the field. Whereas the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos tells us in Mem Hei Amud Aleph that if the Shutfin and the Arisin already split their partnership in the field, so the other partner cannot make the other partner take an oath, which is always a doubtful oath, where because the Mishnah there teaches that if, let's say, however, he is chayiv for him a shvua from somewhere else, meaning he has to make a shvua with this partner for some other reason which is requiring him to take an oath, then the halacha is milgalgal lavasakal. We teach over there that there is gilgul shvua even by a suffix, because that's the case of the shvua of a partner, which is only because you're thinking that maybe he was meir heter, you don't really know, you're thinking, hey, a partner, it's very likely that he did something wrong, that he stole. So if you want to swear that he didn't misappropriate anything. So the halacha that it says in Masechta Shavuos is that we see, even by a suffix claim, where you don't know he did anything wrong, you just, I want him to swear, that the halacha of Gilgul Shavua, since he has to swear for something else, would then require even a doubtful claim for him to swear. So on that, the Gemara asks, Minalon, how do we know that halacha from the Gilgul Shavua applies even by a doubtful claim? Now, as Rashi explains, if you were to learn this as the Gemara was learning the whole halacha of Gilgul Shavua by Mamanus, from the halacha of the Kavuchemer from Saita, that he says is not comparable. And that's what the Gemara is asking, where do you know this from? Because by Saita, the entirety of the whole essence of the oath by a Saita is a doubtful claim. He doesn't know that the whole thing is, he's suspecting her. Maybe she was Mizana, maybe not. So therefore, yes, it makes sense by Saita that the Gilgul would apply to other areas of doubt. But regarding the halachas of Mamanus, the primary oath is only through a definite claim. Because the pasuk says in Shmos Chav Beis, ki yitein ish. In other words, you know you gave this guy money. You're coming with a definite claim, and he's denying. So then, when he's moed ben miktis, he's chayav b'shvuah. If he totally denies, or by karka, he doesn't have to take a shvuah. So that's what we're telling you the halacha is, but Gilgul Shvuah, once you make him take an oath because of a certain definite claim, let's say that he is moed ben miktis on metalin, so then Gilgul Shvuah allows you to go ahead and devolve it on the other things. Now, as Rashi points out the contrast, the case of Shavuos HaShutfin, when you have partners making each other take an oath, that's actually a rabbinic takana, because we would think that the partner was Meir Heter, as the Gemara says over there, Mem Chesem HaBeis and Masechta Shavuos. Now, so the essence of the Gemara's question now is that since the primary oath by monetary law is only when you're coming with a definite claim, so the question is, so maybe I would only say, yes, we know from Kal Vachomer that there is such a halacha of Gilgul Shavuah by Dinei Mamanus. But I would say that what the shvuah that you could devolve and make him take based on your claim could also only be a definite claim. Just usually he wouldn't make a shvuah because it's karka or because it's a kaifer hakoil. But who would say that it works even by a doubtful claim? And yet we know from Masechta Shavuos that it works even by a doubtful claim, as that's the case conceptualization of the shvuah hashutafin that you can make him take from it from other claim that you have that's definite. You can be magalga shvuah hashutafin. But why? That's suffix. How do you know that works? So Tanya Lin the Braisa, the Reb Shimba Yechoy Oimer, he says that you know it from a mamatzin, where nemer shvuah bachutz, there's an oath that talks about things out of the Beis HaMikdash, which is regular monetary law, which is that type of oath is given regarding monetary law in the courts. And nemer shvuah b'fnim. And there also says halacha of taking an oath inside the Beis HaMikdash, which is regards to a site where they make or take the oath in the Azar, in the courtyard. So he says, Mashvua mor b'fnim, just like the oath that was said inside, meaning regarding the site, Asa b'safik evadai. So then we make a doubtful, like a definite, because that's the whole halacha of a site, and we say Gilgul Shavua even by safik, Ashvua mor b'chot, so there's so too an oath regarding outside, meaning monetary law that's in the courts. We make the same thing. We make a doubtful like a definite, and that's how you know the source that you can be megalgal shvuah even by suffix, which was the halacha mesechta shvuahs by shvuahs hashutfin. So that's the source for this halacha of our Mishnah, even by suffix for gilgal shvuah, not just by isra like by saita, but even by mammon, which we know from the kavuchim, and then moreover from this mamatzina that Rabbi Shimon Beichoy said. Now that the Gemara asks, ad heichen, until how much is this the power of Gilgul Shavuah, meaning to say to keep on making him take oath, to what extent, what type of oath can you make him swear? So I'm Rabbi Huda Mirab, he says, very far. Da'amalei, he could tell this claimant, this defendant, who he has opportunity to make him take an oath, he could even say, he shavali she'in avdiyata, swear to me that you're not my slave. Even that is how far Gilgul Shavuah will work. If he has to take a Shavuah, he can make him even swear that you're not my slave. Now, the conclusion of the Gemara will ask, what's such a chiddush in that case that Yerida Merav is saying, more than the case of our Mishnah, than Karka, where it's saying, Ad Heichen, this, like, wow, to such an extent, he has to swear he's not your slave? Why is that any different than Karka, where you also don't have to swear, but after Gilgal Shua, you have to swear. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, Hahu shamuti mishamtinle. What do you mean? Say you could be Magalgal Shua to make someone swear to you that he's not your slave? If you call somebody a slave, you actually, that person actually gets excommunicated. The time, like we learned in the Braisa, regarding certain names you call somebody, there's certain repercussions. Hakar l'chaveri eved. If someone calls his friend a slave, meaning eved kenani, that he's really a non-Jew and you bought him as a slave, yehi benidui. We actually excommunicate that person because he's degrading a Jewish person so much, so we degrade him too and we put him into nidui. Mamzer, if you call someone a mamzer, an illegitimate child, sevigis arbam, so he gets 39, he gets 40 lashes, which is a rabbinic lash, as makas maridus, and which is preferable than nidui. Nidui is worse. So it's calling someone a mamzer is not as bad as calling him an eved. Now, Rashi, if you call someone a wicked person, so yoridi moy l'chayev, then he could, that person that you're calling a Rasha could come to your livelihood. In other words, for this case, when you're just calling him a Rasha, so the courts don't get involved, we don't give you lashes, we don't excommunicate you, but he's permitted to hate the person who called him a Rasha, and it could even diminish that person's parnasa's livelihood, and it could affect, he could do things to harm him in his parnasa. But one thing that the Gemara is asking is, how can you say that the halachic relevance of the parameter of Gilgal Shua is that he says, swear to me, you're not my slave. If you call someone a slave that he has to swear about it, you actually get excommunicated. So how could that be the claim? Elam Rava, rather Rava says, it's not that he's calling him, that you don't swear to me, you're not my Eved, meaning Eved Kenani. Rather, he's shavali shaloid nimkar taliba Eved Ivri. Swear to me that you didn't get sold to me like a Jewish slave. So that's okay. You're not calling him an Eved, meaning to say that's something wrong with his intrinsic being, like an Eved Kenani, that he's not really a Jew, which all these things are chepping, are insulting for his essence, you were sold to me as a Jewish slave. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, well, that's a legitimate claim. Because he has money by the person. In other words, you owe me money because you were sold to me as a slave. And in essence, the Gemara's question is, even without Gilgal, if the person would admit halfway, I'm not your slave all the way, I was only halfway, or let's say there was one witness who was there to testify and says, yeah, he was sold him as a slave, he actually would be chayav Yeshua. Because that's what's called tainus metaltin. It's a regular claim regarding movable item, which is money. He's really, when he's a slave, he owns the monetary aspect of that person, the payrus of the person. So he's claiming his work or how much he's losing out. So then the Gemara's question is, so what is this a bigger chiddush than any other Gilgal Shvuah? It's like regular monetary law where you can actually even make him make a shvuah in that itself. So of course he can be megalgalit. So that the Gemara says, no, Rav Tameh, Rav gave this answer that said it's where you want him to swear that through Gilgal Shvua that he wasn't sold to you as an Eved Ivri. It goes according to his opinion elsewhere. The Rav says, Eved Ivri gufoy kanoi. An Eved Ivri, Jewish slave, the master actually owns his body. So it's not just a regular tainus metaltlin. It's not just claiming money, which would be if his body wasn't owned by the master, he really just owes him work. That's metaltlin. He actually owns his body. Owning his body is something that's beyond that. So that's, you wouldn't actually be able to make a claim. That wouldn't be metatlin, which the Torah says, Moed Mixis Chayav Shvuah. So the Chiddush is, even though you wouldn't be able to make a claim on that, but however, there would be a halach of Gilgal Shvuah regarding him being an Eved Ivri friend. Now, but the Gemara asks, however, as we had mentioned this before, Ihachi, but that's the case. If the case is talking about that an Eved Ivri, that's he's saying, that Hainu Karka, that's essentially the same thing as the case in our Mishnah, which we said that by karka, you can't make the person make a shvuah, but yet we say there's Gilgal Shvuah. So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda that he's teaching us that you can megalgal a person to have to swear regarding if he's a slave? So it's not metatlin. So it's not the classic case of making a shvuah, but you can be megalgal. So why is that any more of a chiddush? So the Gemara says, ma'a detema, I would have thought to say, no, karka hu da avidi di inchi, de mezavdi bitzina. Land is something that it could happen that people will make a sale where in private. Now, Im Isa Dezavin, now if their sale had happened, therefore, less lekal, it's possible that the word didn't get out. And therefore, that's where maybe the Mishnah said that although there's generally no shvuah by karka, but since it could happen that really that sale had happened, we're just not aware of it because they could do it privately. So therefore, there's a halach of Gilgal Shvuah. But hi, regarding the case of Eved Ivri, Im Isa Dezavin, if it was true that this guy had sold himself to this other person as a slave, kolesle, the word would get out. Because people don't, it's not something that's usually done in private and everyone ends up hearing about it. And since we don't know about it, therefore maybe we would say actually that you would not be Megalgal B'Shavua. Kamash Ablon, that's the chiddush of Yehuda Merav that says that even in such a case, when you're saying, you are my slave, again, as it ever, if you were sold to me, which it's, again, Rava L'Shitasa holds, it's, his body is acquired to you, so it's not halacha metatlin, so generally he would not have to make a shvua. But Gelgel Shvu will say that he has to make a Shvu on that. Once you make him swear for something else that he has to swear, him a Gelgel, even on that, even though there's no Kail about it, we still say that he has to swear through the halachic parameters of Gelgel Shvu. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of all the previous Mishnahs about the halachas of kinyanim, of acquisitions. So the Mishnah says, Kol ha-nasa damim ba'acher, whatever becomes money in something else, in other words, something that normally is given for its value when you purchase something else, which originally the assumption of the Gemara is going to be that it's referring to a coin. A coin is something that's usually used for value for something else. So regarding such a case of a coin, kiven shezacha zeh, once this person, meaning the makna, the seller, acquires the coin, meaning he takes one zuz from the purchaser, from the consumer, with the it's to work in the function of the king of chalipin, then nischayiv zeh, then automatically the kinder, the consumer, already becomes liable bechalifav in the thing that they're transferring, meaning in all the liabilities of the object that they're transferring, no matter where it is. So if let's say what was the sale was someone's purchasing money for an object, so then if that once the seller already takes some of the money, and as we're going to explain, not for the purposes of being considered kinyan damim, of kinyan kesef, but rather through the medium of being like chalipin, which is that you take classically a sudu, you take a kerchief, you give it to the seller, and then automatically the consumer has acquired, even though he didn't do mashiach yet, he has acquired that object. So that's what the same thing would happen through money too, which is normally it's nasa damim ba'acher, but once you're doing it in the medium of chalipin, so then if at that point in time, after the seller already took some money, the animal died or got lost, then the purchaser would still have to fully pay up all the money that he made up that he's going to purchase this animal for. Now, the reason being is because once the seller draws to himself either a sudr, as we explained, which is classically used in the kinyan of chalipin, or even a zuz, a coin, through the halacha of chalipin, so then the purchaser has already acquired the item no matter where it is. And again, that's because he's doing it in the halachic prism of chalipin, not in the halachas of damim. Rather, like the classic kinyan sudr, which like the pasuk says in Rus, shlaf ish nali, take off your shoe and you give it to the person that has acquired for you that other object. Now, the Mishnah explains ketzad. What's the case that would conceptualize this halacha? So says the Mishnah, for example, hichlif shir bepar. Let's say you want my ox and I want your cow. So they're swapping the ox for the cow. Or they're swapping a donkey for an ox. So the same halacha is, again, as we explained, kiven shezocha zeh. For example, let's say in the case of when there be machlef a shur in a para. So once the bal hapar, once the owner of the cow has drawn to himself the shur, the ox, nischayiv zeh b'chalifav. So now the other person, who we could call him the consumer, has acquired the cow wherever it is. And therefore, all the liabilities are already on him. So if it dies, even though he never took it from the guy's domain, it's already his, and it's his loss. Now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to ask, what is this ketzad? And that is because, again, as the Gemara's assumption is, because that's what it sounds like the little translation of the Mishnah is, since it's coming to teach us that a coin can be used in the halacha of chalipin, even though, generally, when you're using money, the Gemara Bava Metzia Memdal Menaf tells us that Mois ain't a kindness. You cannot acquire something in the sale through money. Rather, you have to draw the object that you're purchasing to yourself. Now, however, that's if you're utilizing it in the medium of being kind in Daman. But if you're doing it in the medium of Kinyan Sudr, then you could acquire it just like a kerchief. So a coin is no less than a kerchief. Now, if that's the case that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, then the Mishnah should have said, Keitza, how so? Hechlef mo'is bepara, when you're swapping money for a cow, why does it say shar bepara or chamoy b'shar? It should say monies. That's what the Gemara is going to address. So the Gemara opens up with this question. Chalipin mai nihu. So similarly, when you read the Mishnah, what is it that we're doing this transfer, this halacha kinyan of chalipin with? Matpeya. It's with a coin, because as the Gemara's assumption is, Hanitin dama ba'acher, what is it that's usually used for value to purchase something else? It's a coin. And what the chiddush of the Mishnah is, that even though generally, as we said, you cannot purchase something through the medium of it being its money, but when you give it in the halachas of chalipin, then it could acquire. Now that the Gemara says, so seemingly we could infer from our Mishnah that matbea nasa chalipin, that a coin could be utilized in the purchase of something else through the medium of chalipin. Now the problem with this is that in Masechtas Bava Metzi and Perek Hazav, that Memvav Med Aleph, the Gemara's conclusion is that a matbea is not nasa chalipin. You cannot acquire. And that's as the Gemara discusses over there, because really the person is relying on the coin aspect of it, and something ends up happening to the coin, it's not going to work through the medium of chalipin. But our Mishnah seemingly is telling us that it does. So how do we resolve the two? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, no, actually, it's not talking about a coin. Hachikam, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. Kol ha-nishum damen ba'achar. When we're saying kol ha-nasa, that it becomes money to purchase something else, it means to say that anything that if you want to use it as money, because an object is an object, but it also has a value to it, which is what really money is. Money is only a value to get something else. It, regarding other things that you usually want to use as value, that you first have to be nishum. You first have to evaluate and assess its value, which is essentially referring to all movable items actually except for a coin, because a coin you don't have to assess it, you know its value. That's what it says on the coin itself. So it's regarding that that a Mishnah says, as we continue to Tamid Kivin Shazach Hazeh, once this person has already acquired it, in other words, if you gave the coin to the seller for the purposes of being used as Chalipin, then Nischayv B'Chalipin. Then the purchaser is already has acquired that other object through Chalipin, through the Meshicha that the owner of the object has acquired by taking that movable item to himself. And therefore, according to that interpretation, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is telling us that the Halach of Chalipin applies by all movable items, and to say that even though it's not a Kli, it's not a vessel, rather it's just a general movable item, it's still going to be Chalipin, and that you don't need to have, like the Pasuk says, as there are certain interpretations, as we'll shortly see, that you need to use specifically like a shoe, which is what's mentioned in the Pasuk in Rus. It's saying, no, that all types of movable items can be used, but it's not referring to a coin. And actually, by a coin, you're right, as we say in Masechta Bava Metzi, it actually cannot be used for Chalipin. So the Gemara says, Dekinami. Actually, a precise reading of our Mishnah seems to indicate that we're not talking about a coin. Because Diktani, we learn in the Mishnah, Ketzad, it comes to illustrate the halacha that the Mishnah opens up with. It says, what's the case? Hechlev Shor Bepar, if you're swapping an ox for a cow, or Chamoy Beshor, or a donkey for an ox. Shema Minah, obviously, the case that we're talking about are movable items, which are oxen or cows or donkey, not monies. Because if it was monies, it would have said, Hechlev Mois Bepar. And it doesn't, so therefore you're right, it's not talking about money, because you cannot do chalip, and it's talking about all other movable items. Now, however, the Gemara does ask, Ulamai desalagadai temekar, but according to what we had entertained was the Gemara's assumption, like they always say, Gemara's a havamine, is oichad a havamine, there's something there in that, dimadbeya nasa chalip, and that we had entertained to say that the Mishnah was telling us that a coin could be used for chalip, well then my ketzad, how do we read the Mishnah? It should have said, Ketzad, hechlev mo'is bepar, if you're swapping money for a para, how do we understand when it then says that the ketzad is shur bepar? So the Gemara says, hachikama. This is what the Mishnah was saying. We would have been able to understand it in the Gemara's assumption that the Mishnah was actually teaching us two halachas. The first halach is like the Mishnah opens up as we had assumed that it was saying was regarding a coin. And then the Mishnah comes to tell us a different halacha regarding all other movable items. And that the Mishnah is saying, besides the coin being used for chalipin, pei rois nami, that also for produce, which Rashi just points out, when it calls produce, it doesn't mean specifically produce. It means anything that's not a kli, it's just because produce is something very common, so they pick that as an example. That the Mishnah is coming to say that even other movable items, avdi chalipin, could also be used in the medium of chalipin, that you could use it and it doesn't have to be necessarily a shoe. It could be any movable item. And that's what the Mishnah was coming to say, that second halacha of ketzad, how is that? Hichlif baster shor bepar. If you're swapping the meat of an ox for a cow, which, as Rashi points out, it's adding on the extra chiddush, the way the Gemara is describing it now, not just shor bepar, but the meat of an ox, because it's already slaughtered and it's meat to be eaten, where Rashi says, for sure, that's just a bigger chiddush, but of course, when it's a live ox, which is even better, because on that, it's actually similar to a kli, which some opinions hold you actually need a kli and not all movable items, because you can utilize the live ox just like you utilize a kli, in contrast to the meat of the ox, which you're just eating. That's considered like peiri. So that's what the Mishnah would be teaching, that second chiddush, that even regarding not just by coins, but also regarding all movable items, that if you would swap the meat of an ox for a cow, or the meat of a donkey for an ox, once this guy had taken, the seller, we'll call him, has taken this movable item in the medium of chalipin, nischayv b'chalipin, so then the other person becomes liable for the other thing in through that medium of chalipin in all liabilities. So again, that's what we would have said, but again, the Gemara disproved it anyway, because we don't hold the halacha that mabeya is niknem achalipin, and rather it's like Rav Sheshes, who, as we said, that it's the halacha is talking about kol anishum, that is talking about things that are evaluated, which is a reference to metatlin, that chalipin works with metatlin. So the Gemara is hanichal Rav Sheshes. That works very well according to Rav Sheshes. I mean, in other words, you could resolve the halacha of our Mishnah, both according to what the assumption of the Gemara was, that we thought it was talking about kesef and regarding peiros, or even according to the Gemara's conclusion that it's a reference to kol hanishum, whatever is evaluated. In other words, it's toma peiros and all movable items that there's a lach of chalipin to it. So you could explain the mission like that according to Rav Sheshes. The oma peiros of the chalipin, that he actually holds that that's the lacha, that you could do chalipin with produce, meaning with all movable items. But ela le Rav Nachman, but according to Rav Nachman, the oma that he says peiros loy of the chalipin, you cannot do chalipin with peiros. Michael Amemus, how are you going to explain the Mishnah? How do we interpret when the Mishnah says Ketzad? Both according to the Gemara's assumption, we don't understand. Because what case is then the Mishnah coming to describe? It's not talking about money. And plus we said that money can't be the case. And moreover, according to the Gemara's conclusion, also we don't have a resolution. Because the way we just answered the Gemara was, oh, it's a reference to Peiros. But Rav Nachman can't give that answer because he doesn't hold that there is Chalipin by Peiros. And this machlik is Rav Shesh Rav Nachman is in Perakazav and Bamitsid of Memzarin Manalf. So according to Rav Nachman, how do we understand the Mishnah? So rather the Gemara says that actually the Mishnah is one case. And it's talking about a coin. Now, however, Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah is saying. When it says Kalanasa Dam Ba'achar, it is like we had assumed in the Gemara's Havamina, that's a reference to a coin, because that's usually something that's used for value to purchase something else. But what we said in the beginning of the Gemara, but money cannot be used as chalipin. So how would Rav Nachman explain the Mishnah? So he's saying, it doesn't mean that money can be used for chalipin. Rather, yesh damim shein kichalipin. There are some times that money could purchase something like chalipin when you use a shoe, which Rav Nachman holds you could only use a shoe or a kli, that even though you're giving it in the medium of money, which we said usually money cannot acquire something, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that sometimes money could acquire like chalipin. Ketzad, what would that case be? And that's what the Mishnah is saying, Ketzad. Hechlev demei shor bepara. If you're swapping, not just an ox for a cow, the value of an ox for a cow, oy demei chamor b'shar, or the value of an ox, or of a donkey for an ox. In other words, this case is told as follows, where someone sells to his friend an ox, that he'll pay him a mana. Now, that guy goes, and he does mashicha, he draws it to him, and now he becomes liable to pay for what he had done mashicha for, which is a mana. Now, the seller tells him, he says, look, I know you owe me a mana. Do you have, by the way, a cow that, you know, you'll pay up instead of money, you'll give me a cow for payment? So he says, yeah, actually, I have a cow. So he evaluates the cow, and it's worth that mana, or let's say part of that. So the seller, the one who sold the ox, says to the one who has the cow, the consumer, he says, look, the money that you owe me should be placed in the value of that cow that you're going to give me now in place of that money. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that those monies, he's going to be able to use as a kinyan without even doing mashicha on the cow. How is he getting the cow? Because of the money that's owed to him from the fact that he sold him the ox, will work like chalipin works with kalim. Now the Gemara is my timer. What is that? Why is the reason of that? Why is it any different than any other money where we always say that it cannot acquire by metaltman? And yet here we're saying that this money, as the Mishnah is coming to say, according to Rav Nachman, will work like chalipin works, where it works by the transfer of the other element, even though generally mois is not kois. So that Rav Nachman explains because Savala, the Tana of our Mishnah, holds Kirab Yechna. The Amad Devat Torah mois kainois, Rabbi Yechna holds that actually biblically, according to the halacha from the Torah, money does acquire. When you give money to someone else, that object has now been acquired by you. And actually, the halacha that you have to first do Mashicha on the object to draw it to you to acquire it is only a rabbinic law. Now, what's the reason for that rabbinic law? Umatam Amr Mashicha Kain. Why do they say that you could only acquire when you first draw it to you? That's a gezerah, that's a rabbinic decree. Because Shema Yoimar Loi, because maybe the one who already received the money, meaning the seller, will tell the consumer who didn't draw yet what he purchased from him, let's say wheat, he's going to tell him, oh, I'm so sorry, Your wheat, because you already acquired it when you gave me the money, the fact that you didn't do Mashiach, according to biblical law, has no relevance, it got burnt in my attic. In other words, as Rashi explains, if it would happen to be that the seller would have a fire in his attic, he's not going to bother to go ahead and save it. He's going to say, the fact that it gets burnt, I don't lose. And to save it, I don't gain. Because it's that guy's stuff, it's not my stuff. Why should I go ahead and jump into the fire? Now that's why we said that it's still going to be in the domain of the seller, where if it's going to be a loss, if it's going to get burnt, it's going to be his loss. And actually, he also gains by this, because if let's say the price goes up, he could still retract, because although you gave me the money, until you do Mashiach, you have not acquired it. So he'll be Maisa Nefesh, he'll give up his life to go ahead and save those stuff, because it's his stuff. So that's why the Rabbanan made a decree, because we don't want it to be considered the consumer stuff when it's still by the seller. Now, however, says the Gemara, Milsa de Shriach, a common type of a case, meaning a regular case of a sale, where someone gives money for an object to buy, that's where Gazer Barabbanan, that's where the Rabbanan made a decree that Mois will not work, it has to be with Mashiach. But Milsa de Shriach, but an uncommon case, like the case of our Mishnah, where actually the money was already obligated to him from beforehand. Again, because he had already sold him an ox, now I already owed him that money, and then that money that he's giving to him for get his cow, again, it's not really giving the money, it's money that was already owed to him that he's saying, okay, I'll forgive that money. So that money that, quote, I'm giving you, which I'm not really giving to you, you just owe me that money should acquire for me your cow, that legazer barabanan. Because as we know, that's a Talmudic dictum, that milsa lo yishchich legazer barabanan, Rabbanan's decrees, the parameters of the halacha do not apply to uncommon cases. They only made it in common cases. So since this is an uncommon case of that the money that you're buying this cow with is already money that was owed to you, and you're just saying keep that money for that cow, that money we will go according to biblical law. And therefore, you'll acquire that cow like chalipin without ever having done Mashiach on the cow itself. That's how Rav Nachman will interpret the halacha of our Mishnah. So again, it's not really talking about chalipin itself. It's just saying that the damim will work, although it usually doesn't, it will work like chalipin in this case because it's an uncommon case. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but Ula Resh Lakish, the Amar Mashiach, Mufarashis Minat Torah, the premise of this answer for Rav Nachman was based on Rav Yechanan's interpretation of the biblical halacha regarding monies, where biblically it is with money, and only rabbinically it's with Mashiach. But that's a machlekes he has with Resh Lakish. According to Resh Lakish, that actually holds that, according to biblical law, you need to do Mashiach to purchase metatlin, and he learns it out from the pasuk that says, Oikono miyad misecha, or if you purchase it from your friend's hand, which says that it has to be dav ha'kono miyad liyad, you got to do Mashiach to get it from that other person. So therefore, according to him, it doesn't make a difference if it's a common case or uncommon case. Biblically, you need Mashiach, it's not with money. So ha'nicha isabu l'krav sheshes, or Resh Lakish could explain our Mishnah if he holds a krav sheshes. The amah peiris av di chalipin, that he would hold that you could do chalipin with peiris, where even if it's not a kli, any movable item, you could do chalipin with, so matatz krav sheshes. So Resh Lakish will explain the Mishnah like the way we explained it according to Rav Sheshes, that it's not referring to money, it's rather referring to all movable items, like we said, kol anishim, what is evaluated if it needs to be used as a value of purchasing something else, where that's what the Mishnah would be teaching us, that you could do chalipin with matatlin. But ela isav l'krav Nachman, but if Resh Lakish holds like Rav Nachman, the Amar that he says, Peris loy avdi chalipin, that you cannot do chalipin with Peris, because he says, no, it has to be like the Pasuk says, a shoe, meaning it has to be a kli. And moreover, Resh Lakish holds, as we just mentioned, umat be'a loy kani, according to Resh Lakish, there is no biblical kinyan of money to say that how Rav Nachman had interpreted the Mishnah, that there are monies that sometimes work like chalipin to explain the case of our Mishnah that is going according to biblical law because it's a milsa lo yishchicha, because it's an uncommon case, the way of Nachman that answered it. So the Bamai Mokila. So then how would he explain the Mishnah, both according to how we had assumed originally the interpretation, and both according to the Maskana, how would he explain the case? So he says, you're right, Al-Kacha, Rav Sheshes, really. Obviously, Resh Lakish would have to say, like Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman had to say, like Rav Yechanan. Resh Lakish would have to say, like Rav Sheshes, that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is not regarding monies, but rather it's going that the Halach of Chalipin applies to all Matatlin, even to payers. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme of Halachas of Kinyanim, of acquisitions. So the Mishnah says, contrasting Hekdish with Hetyit, with a commoner. Rishus HaGavoya B'Kesem, the domain of Hashem, of what's elevated, which is Hekdish, is with money, which the Gemara will explain. It means to say that the monies of Hekdish acquire something with its money already. And it's already considered part of Hekdish. But Rishus HaHedyit B'Chazaka, the domain of a common person, is only when he is machzik, takes possession of something, meaning when he does mashiach on the object, not with money. And another contrast is amirasa legevaya, saying something to hektish is kemisirasa lehedya, it's like you gave it over to a person, which Gemara will explain what that means. So Tanya Ban, when the Braisa that explains, elucidates the halacha of our Mishnah. Ketzad rishus hagevaya bekesav. What does this mean? How does this work that the domain of hektish is with money? So the Braisa explains. Gizber shenois, shenosin mois bebehema. Regarding the accountant, the secretary of hektish, if he gave money to a seller to purchase an animal for a carbon sibur, so it's becoming part of hektish, afila behem b'seifa oilim, even the animals at the other end of the world, kana, just by giving the money, hektish is already kaina with the money. Now, however, ubehedya, that's the contrast regarding a regular person, lekana achiyimshech, as we said before, whether it's biblically or rabbinically, regarding a common man, when he buys an animal from another person, although he gave the money, he has not acquired that animal unless he first does meshicha. Now, ketzad amiras legevay ki misras lehadit, and how do we understand the last halacha of the Mishnah regarding that saying something for hektish is like giving it over to a common person? So that's what the Braisa explains. Ha'oimer shorzer oila, if someone just says that this ox is a carbon oila, a carbon that's going to be totally sacrificed on the Mizbeach, or buy is a hektish, this house is hektish, even if it's at the other end of the world, hektish has already acquired just by saying those words. Whereas behedit, obviously regarding a regular person, loikana, the other person has not acquired it, ad, as we continue on top of chavtesim and aleph, sheyimshach, until that person does a meshicha, meaning, for example, the movable item of the ox, or v'yachzik, that he does a chazaka, regarding the other case of the house. Now, continuing on the contrast of these halachas, the Gemara shows us the stringencies that apply to the halachas of hektish. The Braisa says, Mishachai, if a regular person does Mishicha, he draws an object of hektish from the gizber, from the one who takes care of the hektish property, who is selling it to him, b'mana. So he does Mishicha when it's at a value of a mana. Now, v'lehispik levdaisai. So there's two parts. He has to pay for it, and he has to bring it to his house. Now, he really did Mishicha, but he didn't get a chance to pay for it, to redeem it from the gizber, by the time he's coming to pay the money, the price had already gone up. So now the halach is nisin b'saim. He's got to give the higher price. Now the Gemara is my time. What's the reason? Didn't you say regarding a hedyit, when he purchases with mishicha. So he already did mishicha. So why does he have to pay the higher price? So the Gemara explains, because when it comes to redeeming something from hektish, the pasuk says to Yikra, v'nosin hakesef v'kamloi. When you give the money, then it's considered yours. So although you did Mashicha, and Mashicha as a hedyit usually works, but regarding hektish, you have to give the money. So since when you're coming, before you give the money, it's already up to 200, you got to pay the higher price. Now, Mashchai b'Mesayim. Now, the Braisa says, however, let's say when you drew it to yourself, it was at a price of 200. And v'lo hispik livdaisiach amid b'mana. Now, you didn't get a chance to pay for it yet, to redeem it, and it went down the price to a mana. Says the Braisa, nice Mesayim, you still have to give the higher price of the Mesayim. So the Gemara says, now we don't understand. My time, what's the reason? Didn't you say that the pasuk says v'nos na kesav v'kamloi, that the line that you draw is when you're giving the money? I didn't give the money yet, and it's down to 100. I should only have to give a mana, not masayim. So the Gemara says, you're right, but lo yehi koyach hedyit chama mehektish. We can't say that the rights of a regular person when he sells something should be stronger than the rights of hektish, because when a regular person does Mashicha from a regular person, he has to pay the whole entire value because he has already acquired it, the Mashicha. So even if it goes down, it was going down in his domain because you already acquired it. So therefore, though yes, by hektish it's usually with money, but we can't make hektish worse than a regular person. And since when he would buy from a regular person, he already did Mashicha, he has already acquired it at the higher price, he would have to pay the higher price. Now the Braisa says the flip side now. Let's say if first Pedoi, he redeemed it. In other words, he already gave the money, b'masayim. He already paid up 200. Now, v'lehispik l'moishchat sh'amed b'mana, but he didn't get a chance to do mishich yet, and it already went down the price. Nisin b'masayim, he has to give the higher price. My time, what's the reason? As we said before, v'nasna kesav kamloi, because it goes based on when he gave the money, and the kinyan is with the money, and therefore it was when 200, although he didn't take it, that doesn't make a difference. Now, p'doi b'mana, but the Braisa says, let's say he redeemed it for a mana, and he didn't get a chance to do Mashicha until it already went up in price, says the Braisa Masha Padda Padda. What he redeemed the Einos Ne'el Amon. He only has to pay the mana. Now the Gemara wonders, am I? Why is that? Why? You should say, like we said the logic before, that a seller of a hektish should not be any worse when a regular person sells. And when it comes to, if you buy from a regular person, if you paid, if you didn't do mashiach yet, and it went up in price, he could charge you for the higher price. So why by hektish do you say, okay, he gave already the lower price, we're not going to make him pay the higher price? Yes, it goes based on kesef, but it shouldn't be any worse than a hektish. And by hektish, you make him, he could technically charge him the higher price. So why are we saying hektish worse over here? So the Gemara says, no, not true. Because atu hedit lab the misha parako, don't you think even a regular person would be what's called misha par, which refers to he who punished from the dirham abel, will punish from someone that retracts from a sale that he was already doing. In other words, if the guy already paid money and now you're just reneging on the deal, there's a curse that comes along with that. So you're right. Although a regular person technically could back out because mashiach wasn't done, but he really cannot back out because he's not going to be able to back out unless he's going to get this curse of the misha para, where the purchaser already had given money. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying, so too hektish will not retract. Because you're not really any worse off than the hedjit, because the hedjit wouldn't back out because of misha para. So though maybe technically hektish wouldn't have quote a misha para, but it's not any worse than technically what the halacha is by hedjit, because he's also not going to back out. So hektish also doesn't back out. So therefore, the halacha will maintain, which hektish always is, which is based on the kesef, which you gave the money by 100, although it went up to 200. You can't like back out and say, no, I'm not selling for 100, I'm selling for 200, because the hedjit wouldn't do that. So hektish also wouldn't do that. So that's what we come out with the halacha, that yes, hektish, the halacha is with money, but it also has the upper hand regarding mashicha. But just besides this last case, it's something that really hedjit will not be any better. So therefore, the halacha is that you're going to maintain the lower price and masha padi padi for the mana, and they're not going to charge Mosayim.